It's said that war brings out the worst and the very best in men and women. I guess we've seen war movies or read books of wars. One of the best known war fights, battles that were well known, is the one of the Kokoda Trail in Papua New Guinea that happened between July and November of 42 in World War II. We know of these horrendous conditions that many of these wars are fought in, and Papua New Guinea was no stranger. The heat, the rain, the sickness, and the terrain. I've had the privilege of living in Papua New Guinea for a number of years. I have some understanding of what that terrain is like. I've been in those little MAF planes and navigated over some of those in good weather and not so good weather, coming out a little green occasionally. I've walked along a mountain track in the highlands of Papua New Guinea after the rain in the afternoon, and it's muddy and sticky. I've had malaria, and I've been trained as a soldier, but I've never had all those conditions all at once. We could only imagine what it was like for those soldiers to fight in those conditions, with the rain and the flooded streams, the heat, the humidity, the sickness and disease. To do it for 96 kilometres as well. I might have done it for a few Ks. So we can only imagine what it was like for these men to fight in war conditions. I've never fought in a war. I bet you there was times when they were willing or wanting to give up. They didn't. There was only 3,500 allied, mainly Australian soldiers against 13,500 Japanese. I wonder what the character is of those men that fought in that war. And I guess the war memorial on the Kokoda Trail will give us a help as we understand. What were those characteristics of those people that fought in those wars, in that war at that time? Courage, endurance, mateship, and sacrifice. As I said, I've never fought in a war, but we are reminded in Ephesians chapter 6 that we're involved in a spiritual warfare and to put on the whole armour of God. In November, I think it was October in 2019, I shared my testimony of one of those battles that I had at that time. When I lost a good number of people in their prime of life, I questioned God, I argued with God. I was confused, I couldn't understand what he was doing. In the end, I had to come to make a choice. Do I put my trust and hope in God, or do I toss in the towel and give up? There was many times where I felt like just doing that. At that time, Psalm 43, verse 5, was particularly meaningful to me at that time. I will put my trust in God. Once again, I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. What was it that God told Joshua as he went and fought, as he led the people into the promised land? A new beginning, a new chapter, a new adventure. What was it that God told Joshua? We find that in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so Joshua experienced that God was with him. But more importantly, what did Joshua say at the end of the journey? Joshua, towards the end of his life, after all the ups and downs of the journey leading the people of Israel, he says in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 16, Fear the Lord with, and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, through all the struggles and the ups and downs of leading the people of Israel, the victories and the defeats along the way, Joshua had courage. He was faithful to his God. He endured, he made sacrifices and trusted God. Jesus has promised to be with us right to the end. We need to be courageous, endure, make sacrifices and be faithful. John Smith has talked about Jesus as the builder and we as the labourers. We need to look to him for direction. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body with different gifts and abilities. We need to work together, just as mateship did in that battle. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Then, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us take courage. Let us follow Jesus, the head of our church, for he has promised to be with us to the end." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you use your word to encourage us and to help us, and the way that you have given us stories of people that have trusted you and been faithful to you. Father, we thank you for the life of Joshua and others throughout the scripture, and for the of Paul and others in the New Testament, Father, that ran their race, and you said, "Well done, good and faithful steward." Father, we thank you and praise you, for you are with us. We look to you and trust in you for the future. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
God is faithful. What about us? For those of you who were here on the 9th of January when I led the pastoral prayer, you may remember that I shared with you the verse that God gave me on the 1st of January to take into this new year. It was verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 7, which says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." As I asked God what I should be sharing today, his faithfulness and our response to it was what kept coming back to me for us here at LBC as we seek to move forward. Moses is in the process of transferring leadership to Joshua, and for the most part of Deuteronomy, he is giving his farewell speeches to prepare the people of Israel as they make their entry into Canaan. In the first 6 verses of chapter 7, Moses is speaking about God driving out the nations and makes it clear to them in verse 2, "Make no treaty with them and show them no mercy." He tells them why they must do this in verse 6, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God." Reading now from verse 7 to the first part of verse 13. "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your forefathers that he brought you That he brought you with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But those who hate him he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep the covenant of love with you, as he swore to you, to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. The next few verses go on to say how God will bless them. And in verse 16, Moses again tells them what they must do and why. The Old Testament covenant of love, which God made with his people, was conditional. It depended on them loving him back and obeying him. However, God continues to love them even when they disobey him. He keeps his side of the covenant no matter what. There are many stories in the Bible that illustrate this, but the one that came to my mind is found in Joshua chapter 6 to 8, where God tells the Israelites how they are to capture Jericho by a most unconventional method. The people of Israel were told to march around the city of Jericho once each day for 6 days. But on the seventh day, they were to walk around 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. Then when the priests gave a loud long blast on the trumpets, the Israelites were to give a loud shout and the walls would collapse and they were to go in and take the city. They were told to destroy every living thing, apart from Rahab and her family. And all the precious articles were to be put into the treasury of the Lord's house. Following this victory, Joshua sent men to Ai to spy out the region, and based on their report, Joshua sent out about 3,000 men to take this city, which they should have been able to do easily, but they were defeated. When Joshua cried out to the Lord, he was told that Israel had sinned by keeping some of the possessions from Jericho that belonged to the Lord. A process followed whereby the thief was identified and with all his family and possessions was destroyed. For this reason, the Lord had not been with them in the battle at Ai. One man's disobedience brought guilt on the whole nation. Once this had been dealt with, God gave Joshua instructions for the taking of Ai, and the Israelites were victorious. Faithfulness is the most important element that makes up God's character. It is the essence of all God is and does. In the same way God loves his people, so too he loves us. His love is unconditional, but the blessings are dependent on obedience. Therefore, the full quota of the blessings God has for us will only become a reality if we keep our side of the covenant. I would like to share with you just one example of this in my own life. Way back in 1967, I went forward at a missionary meeting at Belgrave Heights to commit myself for overseas service. As I thought about this over the years, I decided that I did not want to go to Papua New Guinea. The reason for this was that I had seen everybody everybody was going to Papua New Guinea, and I felt that they had many missionaries. My desire was to go to India. In 1974, I had obtained application papers to go to Bangladesh with what was then ABMS, the Australian Baptist Missionary Society, which most of you would know now as Global Interaction, apart from the fact that this month they've changed their name again and are now the Baptist Mission Australia. I had those papers for many months, and despite being followed up by the representative of the mission, I found myself unable to fill them in. Eventually, I was prepared to accept that God was showing me through various circumstances that this was not what he wanted for me. And I didn't go ahead with that application. It was only then that I had peace about this. At the end of 1975, during our wedding ceremony, Graham and I had a special time of dedicating ourselves to God to do whatever he wanted us to do. Less than 2 years later, God called us to go overseas. And of course, you know to where? The one place I didn't want to go, Papua New Guinea. In January 1975, on our elder daughter's first birthday, we left from Brisbane to fly to Port Moresby and then on to Taree in the Southern Highlands, where we served for 15 years as hostel parents to primary school age missionary children. We cared for 12 children between the ages of 8 and 12 for the 10 weeks of each term so that they could attend the international school on our mission station. The weather in Taree is beautiful. 16 to 26 degrees all year round, with a thunderstorm most afternoons. It was a wonderful environment in which to bring up our children. This is not to say there were no challenges, there were plenty of them. But because we were where God wanted us to be, he was always there for us and saw us through every difficulty. I loved it there. I was completely fulfilled in what I was doing. One of the hardest things that I have ever done in my life was to leave there in December of 1993. I still look back on those 15 years as the highlight of my life. So what I'm trying to say in all of that is, if I hadn't eventually been prepared to do what God was asking me to do, I would have missed out on so many blessings. In his messages over these weeks in January, John has frequently mentioned in different ways that the only way that we as a church are going to be successful in moving forward is to do so with our hands in the hand of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." He just requires us to be obedient to him. Not just some of us, but all of us. As we saw in the story from Joshua, it only took one person to disobey the Lord to bring about failure for the whole nation. Are we prepared to be as faithful to him as he is to us? And what will that mean for each one of us? Are we really listening to him? And are we ready to do his will? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are such a faithful God, and you have promised us that when you call us, you will enable us. Thank you that in my own life I can testify to this again and again, and to you goes all the glory. As we move forward here at LBC, may we do so with you, the Master Builder. We look to you to lead us and guide us, and we thank you for what you're going to do in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Elders today, all four of us, it's a privilege to be here. We do all sorts of other things, but we don't often get to preach, so even if it's a mini one. So how does one choose a passage for today? This one came to, because of a reading we had last week, And I always think it's wonderful if there's something fresh that God's been speaking to us about. And what Ralph and I do during the week, after breakfast, is we have a Bible reading, but we use this book, Search the Scriptures. We like devotionals that don't tell us what to do. We like it when they ask questions, because then we can talk to each other, we can hear what each other's thinking, and it's just a good exercise to be able to think through things. So that's why I wanted to show you that book. So the story, what I want to share today is the story of Isaac and Rebecca, who have their twin sons, and they've waited 20 years for them. Esau arrives first, and then Jacob. And the title for this today is called, this is what I worked it out as, Don't Miss Out on the Blessing. The reading, Genesis 25, 27 to 34, reads, "The boys grew up, and Esau became a skilled hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, 'Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished.' That is why he was also called Edom." Apparently, Edom means red. "Jacob replied, 'First sell me your birthright.' 'Look, I'm about to die,' Esau said. 'What good is the birthright to me?' But Jacob said, 'Swear to me first.' So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright." What was at stake in this story? In Genesis 12, the Lord says to Abraham to leave his country and, "I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." We can see all the blessings that God wanted to give to his people and using his people to do it. This was what Esau was throwing away for bread and lentil stew. What do we learn of the two sons? Esau was a hunter, a man of the open country. He would have been the vigorous, sporty one. Victoria would have loved him. Jacob was the quiet one, staying among the tents, it says. But what was he learning there? He certainly had a ministry of food with his lentil stew. Later we learn he was skillful at multiplying his uncle Laban's flocks, so that he became very wealthy. He must have been astute in his quiet way. He was also known as the deceiver. A lot of wheeling and dealing went on in the Old Testament, as well as today, and we see it especially with Abraham, Jacob, and then Uncle Laban. If we look in the New Testament, in Romans 9, Paul writes, "Before the twins were born, or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, Rebekah was told, 'The older will serve the younger.' In other words, Jacob is God's choice through whom to carry out these covenant promises." When it was time for old Isaac, who was blind, to pass on a blessing to his firstborn, who believed that he was Esau that he was blessing, Rebekah, with Jacob's cooperation, was able to arrange for the blessing to come to Jacob, the second son whom she preferred. Was she aware that Jacob had the right disposition for this blessing? Was she trying to help God? Was God using her for his purposes? Did she remember what the Lord had said to her before the twins were born? The older will serve the younger. So through trickery or divine intervention, Jacob received the blessing from his father when Jacob says, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of the earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed." When Esau realized there was no blessing left for him, he wept aloud. He had despised his birthright and now he'd missed out on the blessing. These were Old Testament times, but we are recipients of the covenant when it says that through Abraham, all peoples of the earth will be blessed. So what can we learn of this story? The Holy Spirit is working in all of us, and you will have your own answers to what is God saying. It might be, value highly the position that we have in Christ. We have been blessed by being included in his family, being a son or daughter of the living God. We can treasure the relationship we have with him, keep it fresh and alive. If we have positions of influence wherever we are, use our blessedness to bless others. I sometimes think that at times when we go to a funeral or a wedding, and sometimes we are amongst a lot of people who don't have faith, that because we are there, our blessing, our presence is a blessing to others. And it happened with Jacob too, when he was with Uncle Laban. And Uncle Laban remarks, "I have been blessed through you." He was referring to the number of his flocks that had increased because of Jacob's presence. Can you remember last year, at the end of the bulletins that Vicky would write on a Thursday, she would often write, "Be blessed and be a blessing." We can do that. And we can do that in the power of the Holy Spirit each day. And may we as a church march forward this year as a church community, both individually and corporately, being the blessed ones who bless others. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that your word speaks to us, to each of us, and at different levels. So thank you for what you do. Would you bless us and use us this day, and help us never to miss out on your blessings. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Hope you're still awake. Oh, sorry. Are you awake? Well, it's so good to be here, and so good that we, the elders, are giving the opportunity to share whatever in their hearts. I hope whatever we share is from the bottom of our hearts, and hope it will bless you as well. Hope you can take away pray about it and see what the Lord is speaking to you. Amen. Now, my message this morning, a scripture that I'm going to read is Habakkuk, I'll quote, chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to the others. The vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming. Wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not delay. Another scripture I would like to read in Philippians 3, verse 12 to 16. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on these things, this one thing, forgetting the past and look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress that we have already made. Amen. You know, in 2021, I believe many people will cry out like Habakkuk said, Lord, what is happening? How long must I call for help? What is happening to me, to the church, to the world? What is going on? I'm sure some of us cried out. What happened, Lord? What happened? But are you hard of hearing? Can't you hear my cry? Can't you hear I'm asking for help? I think many of us gone through that, right? Do you? Yes? One way or another. Especially someone who's been locked down, away from the family, like in WA, still not opened up. And you'll be yearning to see your family. Or someone in your family that you contract COVID-19, you'd be so worried, isn't it? And what happened to the world around us? Flood, earthquake, fire, volcano eruption. All these things, it really worried us, don't you think? Sometimes we think, oh, Lord, bless the people, bless this person, protect these people, protect the loved one that you live overseas or in Italy or in Greece, or even Tonga, you know, the volcanic eruption. So we have many concerns. But God is ever so faithful, like Graham and Don talking about. God is faithful. He is in control of everything. So sometimes we worry. Yes, we worry. But when we worry, we pray more fervently. What is going on to this family, that family, and the world around us, or the churches in the world, or even the church family members? I think we have been praying for so many people not well, operation, and all that. But prayer is powerful. Don't you agree? Like, these few months, we've been like concentrate on prayer after service and on Wednesday, 8 p.m. I felt the prayer in this church and LBC is like bring an aroma unto the Lord, especially we worship in spirit and in truth and ask God for help. Lord, help. Can you hear my cry, please? I believe God is hearing us. Do you think that the things that happened in 2020 and 2021, do you think God really in control of everything? I believe so. Because every time when I cried out to God, I said, Lord, what is happening? Why this thing dragged for so long? I don't want to go into detail, but you know what I'm saying. But the Lord, you know what the answer that he gave me? Be patient. Endurance. Long-suffering. Because during this time of endurance and long-suffering, you just have to be patiently, like Lahabu said, wait and hear what God is saying to us. What he's saying to us. So he, whatever he says to us, we just have to catch hold of it and run with it. Whatever the Lord's saying to the church as LBC as a whole, we are waiting to hear what he got to say to us. When he said it, I believe that we all will hear it. Do you know there's always God call us individually, yes. God give us the talent or the gifting, yes. But as church as a whole, he speak to us individually, but cohesively in unity. Do you believe in that? I believe 2021, as Philippians say, is a path. Let's press on and move forward at what God has calling us 2022 and beyond for LBC and each and every one of us. I believe we need to step up. We cannot be the status quo, like, hey, Sarah, Sarah, let it be. We can't do that anymore. We have to step up individually as a family. We say, Lord, what are you speaking to us? What are you speaking to us? When he said, okay, individually, like as elders, we seek God. Lord, what you have for us to do as an elders? I believe we work as a team in unity here. And also the leadership also work as a team. But what about the rest of the congregation? I believe we need to flow together with the leadership team, with elders, and also our interim pastor, Peter Laws. He's coming next week. I believe God already spoke to him about what LBC is going to do. So whatever we share as a team, leadership, elders, and the congregation as a whole, we have to work together in unity and in spiritual maturity. Forget about 2021. Forget about it. And please forgive those people you thought is wrong you. Injustice. Please. And forgive yourself by doubting or by gossiping, by spreading untruth. There's always two sides of story, but we just forget it. And Lord, 2021 is past. If we pause it, move forward what he has called us heavenward. We are the body of Christ. What do you see Jesus is doing? He doesn't care what people say. He doesn't say. He just do what the Father asks him to do. As the children of God, we do the same. We just hear what the Lord wants us to do. And we hear it, and we just do it. Like Nike said, just do it. You know, sometimes we have to tap into what God is calling us. I remember, since I got saved in 1987, the Lord been calling me to do different tasks. Every time he asked me to do, I didn't doubt it because he is my master. He is my savior. He is my Lord. So whatever he asked me to do, all I said, even though I said, oh, before I said, oh, I can't. Oh, I'm not called to do this sort. Before I even doubted, I just said, Lord, I'm willing. One thing. Lord, I'm available. You just use me to bless others. You see, whatever the Lord asks you to do something, it's not is for your own good, but to also bless somebody else. Amen? Right? So we need a lunch next week, right? So whatever you do, yes, Alan, I can cook this, I can do that. See, it's also blessed, you know, it's blessed to give, and also the people that partake the food also bless others. You see, it's always a two-way street. It's not that you do something, nothing happen. It's always something happen in your life and in people's life. So we just want to encourage you. So whenever you hear the Lord saying, Lord, what you want me to do? Speak to me. Talk to me. When he speak, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Yes, Lord, I'm available. Yes, Lord, I'm obedient to your call. Use me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, for call us in time of this. Lord, even the time of difficulties, time of unrest, but we know you're faithful. We know that you call us in this family of God, in Little Baptist Church. We are God's family. This is your church. You want your church to be successful. You want your church to be blessed, the community as a light and salt in this Lilydale and beyond. Dear Lord, we just need your anointing. We need your strength to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. Even though we weak, but you exchange our weakness with strength. Yes, Lord, I forgive. I forgive. Yes, Lord, our love. As the great commandment say, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. And also love others as yourself. Today, we just want to say, thank you, Lord. We are your children. Your commandment say, besides loving you wholeheartedly, we also ought to love one another. Lord, bind us together, O God. Bind us together with your love and in unity. We give you thanks and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.